We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome to the Light Years podcast. For those of you who joined us on Locker Room, I appreciate you. If we can get the file recovered, we're going to post it. But this is a special additional episode. I feel like the Warriors falling into what might be the start of a free fall deserved a bonus episode. And for that, I have Aaron Larsoul. Aaron, how you doing?
I mean... Not great. I mean, I'm okay. And as I said on the locker room, I don't usually get emotionally attached to games. I work in the NBA, work for an NBA team. So I don't generally get emotionally attached to games or to teams. But the Warriors are the team of my youth. So I'm still a few hours after the game. I'm still pretty frustrated. So let's get it.
Let's start here. So I don't want to get into the minutia of the game in terms of, you know, breaking down play by play. Steph, very efficient. Everyone else on the team looked like they played basketball for the first time in their lives. We've seen this 50 times this season, right? Sometimes Steph makes up for everyone. Sometimes he doesn't. I want to get into bigger picture stuff at this point. So for me, what's most frustrating is we're at game 50 now. And by the way, the Warriors are very much in danger of not even making the play-in game, which 15 games ago, I would have considered being in the play-in disappointing. I thought they were probably going to, they had a shot at six. You know, if they fell to 7 or 8, I would have been a little disappointed, but I thought they should have clearly been right there with Portland at the 6 seed. Now I'm wondering if they're going to have the 10 seed. What I'm asking you here is, where are you at with this? Because we're 50 games in, and I have not seen any progress. I've not seen anything in any direction from this team.
I mean, there isn't any. It's like you're putting it too kindly, in my estimation. No, it's not like you haven't seen any. You haven't seen any because there isn't any. And that opens up a whole bunch of other questions. Like the teams that are in the same stratosphere as the Warriors just aren't any good. It's like embarrassing is not the right word. It's concerning, I guess, is probably the right word. But like Portland isn't any good, right? Portland is whatever.
Particularly with
and they've had
CJ.
Everybody hurt, right? They haven't had their line. Like the Spurs are bad. Memphis is bad. San Antonio's bad. Dallas has some talent, but has been bad most of the year. So I think the bigger picture is it's concerning the stratosphere that the Warriors are in, the teams that they are bunched with. And at this point kind of falling behind, look, the Pelicans probably have more talent than the Warriors. They are just allergic to playing defense and have also had a bunch of injury issues. So they have fallen back. But the fact that the Warriors are kind of treading water with the Pelicans and the Kings of all teams, who for most of this season had statistically the worst defense in NBA history. I mean, it's plainly concerning. And whatever you think about the Warriors' overall talent and who's responsible for the acquisition and implementation of that talent, the Warriors have the best player of any of them. So, like, we can put the secondary and tertiary pieces to the side for a second. Like, Steph is better than Dame. Steph is better than Luka.
Steph's better than Ja Morant. Yes.
Until you get to LeBron, right? Like, demonstrably, Steph is better than all of them. So, I think it's just it's plain concerning, and you know.
And I think we need to also tie in, you know, as up and down as Draymond has been, he's still more of an impact player than who's the second best player on the Grizzlies right now?
Jaren Jackson Jr., who hasn't played all year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He hasn't played a single game.
Dylan Brooks, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe? We can look at the Dallas Mavericks. Okay, Kristaps has started.
No, Porzingis can't move anymore. Kristaps' feet are in cinder blocks. He can't move anymore.
But all I'm going to say is, like, even if you want to say, okay, the last 15 to 20 games, he's found his offensive flow, they've played 50 games. So you're talking about 30 plus games where he was mostly a non-factor.
Correct.
CJ has missed 30 games.
When CJ was playing, he was better than Dame, you know, when he was playing in the first 20 games.
He missed 2 months. Correct. 2 months.
Right. And Nurkic has been out and Collins has been out. Yeah.
These are not demonstratively more. And then the Spurs, like, I don't get me wrong, I love, you know, DeJounte Murray, Patty Mills, Keldon Johnson, you know, DeMar DeRozan.
Let me be clear. None of them. The Spurs don't have anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
The Spurs don't have a guy.
And so it starts bringing up some interesting questions, which is, why are the Warriors in such a mess? They do still have a better than 500 record with Steph Curry, but as we saw on Friday night, the drop off without Steph is historically bad.
But it's also predictable, because it has been this way, right? It was obviously this way last year when Steph played five games or whatever he did.
Sure.
But even when the Warriors had perhaps, and actually, you know what? I'm not even going to say perhaps. I'm going to say actually the greatest assemblance of talent ever. I think the Warriors with KD, I think those are the best teams in NBA.
The 2017 Warriors have a case to be the greatest team of all time.
Correct. But even in those scenarios, when Steph left the floor, the offense was a disaster, right? Like, even without Steph, even with the greatest collection of talent ever, when Steph left the floor, the Warriors were somewhere between ordinary and not great.
Very mediocre, which is not what you'd expect for a team with Durant.
I think it's unfair, and I think it is letting the front office, the coaching staff, et cetera, off the hook to act like this is a surprise. The Warriors have not had somebody to get buckets, somebody to run offense outside of Steph, even with KD and Klay and Dre and Iggy and Livingston and Bogut and David West and whoever else you want to say, and Jared.
Shout out Ian Clark.
Exactly. All right. Like, the last time the Warriors had somebody that could get offense on his own in a second unit outside of Steph was probably Leandro Barbosa, which was at this point like 8 years ago. So I don't think it's fair to say, like, to be surprised at what's going on. The Warriors haven't been able to do this for years. So, like, it feels like a personnel and coaching both failure to not address something that has been obvious to Warriors fans for so long.
So let's pull this back to this game, because this game's like a perfect microcosm. James Wiseman, I thought, played a very positive first quarter. It was probably the best he's played in 10 to 15 games. Not perfect, but, you know, he's a rookie and no one expects perfect. I just saw confidence. I saw strong finishing inside. He had a couple jumpers from outside. He made some strong contests on defense. He also blew some rotations, but that's to be expected. All in all, he played with a level of confidence we haven't seen in probably a couple of weeks at minimum.
I think it's decisiveness.
Decisive is a great word.
Yeah. Decisiveness, that you're right though, because it's decisiveness that comes from confidence.
Yeah, because he's physically like the 1% of 1% in terms of, like, you just don't find guys who move like that at that size. So literally, if he just plays with confidence, he's going to be a general plus. He does not play the rest of the first half. In the second half, he looks like a rookie again, and it kind of gets back to the issue with his rookie year, which is, you know, a lot of fans will say LaMelo should have been the pick, which is fair. LaMelo looks amazing, or looked amazing until he broke his hand. You have a broken hand.
shout out me and Mello with the broken hand. Although, yeah, if he has to go through what I'm going through for this, then his career might be over, because this is surgery 3 on my broken hand. So
rough. Anyway,
it's not great.
What I was gonna say is Wiseman looks like for the entire year, he's had his minutes yo-yoed, and I feel like that is part of the issue with his confidence. And if we want to talk about big picture issues with this Warriors team, they blew tonight's game against Atlanta, but they did not get Wiseman minutes. So they're not developing or chasing wins. We can talk about the fact that Steph did not come in early in the fourth quarter, and that's probably why they lost the game. Steph comes in at the 8-minute mark, they win. Steph came in at the 6-minute mark, they lost. That's fine if James Wiseman's getting developed and you can sell me on this idea that we're going to go through these growing pains to make James Wiseman better next year. But at the same time, James Wiseman didn't play any of those minutes. So the real question is, have we gained anything this season? And that is where I'm like, the answer is no. And that's what's frustrating.
So the answer is no, right? Like, I wish I had a better story to tell you, but the answer is no. And I'm going to take it a step farther. I have been, right, I've said this on this show, I've said it on other shows I've been on, I've said it on y'all locker room show, post-game show. I think Steve Kerr, simple and plain, needs to be fired. I was out on Steve Kerr when he embarrassed Wiseman with the COVID thing, when he didn't show up for the test, right?
The report is he didn't show up because he was with his mom, but no matter what it was he did, it's pretty well reported he was not at a club at 4
yes,
in the morning.
Right.
He did. So, he was a 19-year-old who had a brain fart, which is not acceptable, but also, like, cut the kid slack.
I have no issue, right? If that's unacceptable and he messed up, and you're going to suspend him for a game. And you communicate that to everybody and you say, look, James missed this test.
He has to do this. You're going a different direction than I was thinking.
Yeah. Right. No, so I'm okay. I'm okay if that's what you want to do, right? And you want to say, look, it's not okay. We needed him. That's also caused him to miss a practice coming back from the All-Star break. I'm okay if Kerr says, this is not acceptable, I'm going to sit him. And that's just, everybody knows, you're going to sit him because he missed the test. I'm okay with that. But he didn't do that. He kind of just left it nebulous. He said he was really disappointed. Wiseman missed the test and then didn't do anything. And then, so nobody knew the assumption was he was going to start coming back from the break. And then he didn't. So nobody knew what was going on. And so everybody goes, okay, I guess he's just not going to play. Then the Warriors are getting beat by 145.
They were out of that game in the first 5 minutes. Yeah, it was one of those.
And then you don't play him at all. And then you bring him in with the scrubs in the fourth after you're down a million. In my opinion, to embarrass him. That I'm not okay with. If you want to make an example and say he's sitting because he missed the test, fine. I'm okay with that. But to make it nebulous and then embarrass the kid who obviously has confidence issues, that was not acceptable to me. Now,
it's just
coming to tonight.
It looks like it's, I mean, I don't want to go back to 3 weeks ago, but like, I feel like it needs to be brought up. That's such a archaic coaching strategy. It comes across like someone who watched Hoosiers and thinks like that's how you coach young players.
Yeah, but I'm good. I'm even good. I'm good if you want to discipline him. If you want to say, right, this is the rule, you broke the rule, you messed this up, here are the consequences, right? And then it's not a story anymore. The story is he missed a test, he's a kid, he overslept or he forgot or whatever, and it's done. I'm okay with that. But when you like drag it on into the game and don't say anything and then let everybody assume, oh, okay, they're just going to not play him because he missed the test, and then make a point of playing him in a game that has already been decided.
In garbage time
and embarrass him, that I'm not okay with. As it relates to tonight and the rest of the season and the season previously, I think Steve Kerr is a really, really great human being. And that matters more than any of this shit, right? Like, he's a really, really great human being, which matters more than any of this. I also think he is brilliant. I think he is a very, very smart human. And I think on balance, he's probably a really, really good basketball coach. But I think he's lost the plot. And all of your British listeners.
Shout out Arsenal Fan TV. Yeah.
Right. And perhaps, I don't know about Luke in Australia, but maybe they say that too. I think he's lost the plot. And when my point in saying that, or my reason for saying that, is because I think the organization, you and I, and you and Andy on the show have talked a lot about trying to thread the needle and trying to do two things at once, and they've accomplished neither. But I think that Steve Kerr has been most vocal about, he has a quote, right? We're not chasing wins. We're not going to wear out Steph. Talking about playing for next year. When Clay comes back, we have a better shot at whatever.
Right.
And by the way, I disagree with him because Clay is not solving this, in my opinion, but especially a damaged Clay.
By the way, neither is Kelly Oubre.
But I think the problem with that is they're doing neither, right? If you wanted to say, look, we're not chasing wins this year, we're going to finish wherever we're going to finish. We'd like to make the playoffs, but we'll finish wherever we'll finish, and we're going to develop for next year. I would say I disagree with you. I think it is coaching malpractice to waste any second of a top 10 player all time, which I consider Steph's prime. I think that is coaching malpractice, but I'll accept that. We're going to develop for next year. Okay, I disagree with it, but I accept it. Or your other choice, like, we're going to win every single game we can win right now, and we'll deal with developing James Wiseman.
Shout out Tom Thibodeau. Yeah.
We'll deal with that when we can. That would be my suggestion, but I will accept either. The problem is they're doing neither. If you are not going to play Steph an extra minute or two here and there to try to win games, okay. I disagree with it, but okay. But then you can't play James Wiseman 17 minutes tonight when he's having demonstrably one of his good games. If he's having a good game, you can't sit him, because then you're not developing him either.
I think that was what was most frustrating for me, because in the first quarter, it looked like he was finally snapping out of a slump he was in. And, you know, he had a couple terrible games previously, and rookies will do that. And tonight looked like a game. I mean, he hit a long two because he had his foot on the line, which is a very rookie move. But I mean, he was 4 for 6 in the first quarter. He looked very good. As good as you could hope. It looked like a game where he could really get going and you could kind of build on his confidence that hopefully maybe in a month's time, he could be a contributor in a play-in game or something like that. Instead, they just yo-yo his minutes, and I don't see where the development's coming. They're not practicing very much.
But where do you, so the question though is, like, I get it if there's like a cohesive strategy to that, mm-hmm. but what do you think, like, yo-yoing the minutes? Okay, fine. But to what end? Do you have any like handle on the purpose for that?
it seems like they're trying to thread the needle and they're doing neither. They're not playing Steph 39 minutes a night, which is probably what he needs to play for them to win games. Not every night, but like a night like tonight, he needed to play 38, 39 minutes instead of 36. Right. Actually, I'm going to pull up his box. He needs to play for about three more minutes.
I said on the locker room, right? On the locker room before, maybe we'll get that file, maybe not. But how many more games, if Steph had played just 20 minutes more over the entire season, right? Well, it's game 50 now, right? If Steph had played 20 more minutes this season, let's say it's two more minutes in 10 different games. The Warriors are, what, four games at, what, 23 and 27?
Correct.
If Steph, I believe if Steph had played just 20 more minutes, which wouldn't actually change his like minute per game average over the year, it's less than 1 minute a game. It's less than half a minute per game.
It's about being decisive about where.
Do you think they could be 27 and 23 instead of 23 and 27?
I think
so. If you played 20 more minutes.
Dallas is 27 and 21. I don't think Dallas has demonstrably more talent than the Warriors. I just think Luka plays five more minutes a game than Steph. That's really the difference at this point, right? I'm looking at this right now. Yeah, Luka's playing 35 minutes a game, and that counts blowout games where he's been rested a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, he's playing about two more minutes a game than Steph, and that's probably the difference between the two of them.
And I'm not even asking for two more minutes a game. I'm asking for two more minutes
in 10 games.
In a quarter of the games.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, there's a Spurs game, there's a Mavericks game, there's the Hawks game tonight, there's we're really testing my memory of all these disgusting losses. There's like, okay, so you play them two more minutes a game in 10 games that were losses. That's, let's say they win five of those. That alone pushes them to the sixth seed. That's right. The difference right there. That's right. The difference between Damian Lillard and Steph Curry right now. Dame is playing a few more minutes every game and they're testing it a little more. But they're riding it. Like Portland's not particularly good. It's just that like Dame knows how to close games. And part of closing games is just letting the guy have 20 more possessions, 10 more possessions, which is really what you're talking about. Like 2 minutes is what? 8 to 10 possessions, right? Letting him just literally have a few more opportunities on the floor to change the flow of the game.
Correct. I also, you and I tweeted about this. I don't remember if we texted about it, but we tweeted about this. What are you making of the, like, and we're back to exactly the kumbaya curse, share the ball triangle stuff after. Do you think that it was specifically going to run more pick and roll because that will be more effective against the Bulls, or that just happened to be what worked then and Kerr's back to doing Kerr things?
That's the interesting thing to me, because if we go back to it, they all said we're running more pick and roll in every press conference. And that was, let's be real, that was about James Wiseman. Because Steph doesn't really care. Steph's very happy. I mean,
Do you think Steph doesn't care? Or do you think Steph
doesn't care
so much that he's going to make a thing about it?
I don't think Steph cares about getting his offense in pick and roll. I think he's comfortable getting his own offense in any way he can because he's a complete player. He's very comfortable operating off ball, doing it in different ways. I think he cares about whatever helps.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Win. But I don't think he's like married to like, this is my style of play.
Fair.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's
So they went to it and they went away from it. And that's where it's just frustrating. And so I want to take this back because we're kind of talking in circles here. And I feel like on some level, this whole season's been talking in circles because, quite frankly, the way they've been playing and coaching has been in circles. So
you ain't lying.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment. Let me ask you straight up here. Are you more upset at them not overextending Steph's minutes to chase wins? Or are you more upset that they're not developing Wiseman properly? Like, are you more upset that they're not 27 and 23? Or are you more upset that James Wiseman is a worse player today than he was January 5th, 3 months ago?
I am more upset. The former. Let me be direct about it. I am more upset because that is more certain. I think you could ship James Wiseman, not trade him, but just if you like magically teleported him somewhere else, I think there are plenty of places that he would be better than he is now. But that seems like a crapshoot. I was the first person to colonize Wiseman Island. I have concerns, but more long-term concerns now. I thought that there was a chance he would be a Hall of Famer. I thought that his floor was a multiple time All-Star. Now I have like more long-term concerns, partially somewhat because of the Warriors' development, somewhat because of him. But even at best, that like developing a prospect, I think, is kind of a nebulous thing. You know what it is with Steph. And so I think that the like original sin for all of this is not maximizing Steph. So I think it is more egregious. I think it is more unacceptable to not maximize Steph.
Okay. I honestly, at this point, I'm not sure which one bothers me more. I'm more upset that they're not doing either. I could accept either at this point.
So that right there, what you just said, that is the most important point.
Yeah.
Because like, even if I disagree, like even if you want to tend towards development and I disagree with that, like you can explain it to me, you can make a case. This is neither. It's death by half measures because you're doing neither.
Where did the Warriors go from here? I think we need to end on this question. I mean, end is nebulous in its own right, but where do they go from here? Right now they're 23 and 27. They are a half game up on the 10 seed.
Yeah.
They're in danger of falling out of the play-in game, which would be, I mean, to call it a colossal failure would probably be an understatement, because now you probably open the door to Steph considering his future. I mean, he's probably already considering his future at this point, right? He has 1 year left on the contract. Who knows? I don't think this season's gone in a way that makes him feel confident about the future. Agreed. There's also Draymond, who is going to be more direct about his wants and needs.
Agree.
And then you have James Wiseman, who took number 2 overall, and I don't think you can feel confident that he's a cornerstone for the future.
Agree.
He could be. He should be. He has the talent to be. But like through 1 year, let's just put it this way. Charlotte feels a lot better about LaMelo going into next year than the Warriors feel about Wiseman going into
next year. As they should. I think that if we're going to like really simplify this, I think Wiseman doesn't matter. I think Draymond doesn't matter. I don't think Steph is leaving. I think Steph is actually that. Yeah. I think Steph is actually that alien that like is, I mean, what is it? His tweet from like 2009, which is,
we're going to figure this out.
I promise you we'll figure this out. Right. So I think there's still a lot of that in Steph, even after winning three championships and two MVPs. I don't think that Steph is even going to consider actually going anywhere else. I think it would be good for the Warriors if he were to exert some pressure. Like I think Draymond might on the front office. I don't think it's a Draymond question. I don't think it's a Wiseman question. I think until for at least the next handful of years, I think it's a Steph question. The thing that scares me about where do we go from here is I think that the front office slash Steve Kerr slash ownership is probably too comfortable with thinking that Klay Thompson solves this. And even if Klay Thompson, my expectation is Klay Thompson is probably 90% Klay Thompson offensively and 70% Klay Thompson defensively. So if you think he's like 80% Klay Thompson in aggregate, but even if Klay Thompson is 100% Klay Thompson, I think the front office and ownership is a little too reliant on Klay Thompson coming back solves this. Because I think even if you get 100% too reliant
on game six Klay. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I like to put a very fine point on this. Even if you get Klay is game six Klay for 82 games next year, I'm not sure that this roster with game six Klay for 82 games is a championship contender. And I think the front office and ownership is a little too bold about relying on that.
I would agree with you there. I think they have a lot of questions to answer going forward. I think they're aware of those questions, but it's not a comfortable place. Like any way you slice it, this year has not been productive. Let's call it what it is.
Correct. And by the way, after last year, which was supposed to be the gap year.
Right. Yeah. They've now double gapped it, I guess is the best way to put it. And we don't know if James Wiseman's a piece for the future. We don't know what Klay Thompson will be going forward. We know what Steph Curry is, but he's 33 years old. And they haven't really done much on the margins. Like I like Jordan Poole, but like, I don't know that he's, you know, a building block for the future per se.
And you've pointed out very astutely that he only became a piece that we could consider moving forward when he was not with the big club.
Right.
And then the longer he's been back with the big club, the worse he's gotten.
Yeah. I mean, competition's level is better, but at the same time, it's like the confidence has slowly been drained. Yeah,
the competition was good. The competition was the competition the first five games he was back with the Warriors,
sure,
too.
Sure, yeah. I don't know. It's a mess. We'll keep following it, but I think the Warriors are just, gun to my head, is there a team with more pressure on them this offseason than the Warriors?
Boston's probably like in that.
Yeah.
Mix.
Okay. Yeah. Boston. Good call on Boston. Yeah.
Boston's not Boston, but I don't know if they have more. I think Boston's probably in the mix.
They're in year one of Tatum's extension. So while it's not trending in the right direction, they're not facing some of the direct questions the Warriors are with Steph.
Sure, but they also have like the same record that the Warriors have, and they were supposed to be.
They went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Yes, they were supposed to be there.
Depending on some playoff results for a bunch of teams, I think the Clippers could have some real questions. Philly could have some real questions, kind of depending on
Philly's on had like a positive thing this season. But yes, if they go the same route in the playoffs, those questions will come back.
I think like a referendum, even not including the playoffs, just kind of what this regular season has looked like as a referendum on where teams are organizationally. I think the Warriors are probably like the front of the list, meaning like most. I think as a regular season, I think the Warriors organizationally have had the most disappointing regular season. Boston's in that mix too, but I think the Warriors have had the most disappointing regular season.
Yeah, they have some, and they would tell you no one can plan for Clay getting hurt 2 days before free agency and a week before camp opens in a weird season. By the way, this has been a weird season for everyone. And I do think it's fair to point that out a little bit, but also, again, we're in a worse spot today than we were at the beginning of January. And that is something that needs to be discussed, and they need that can't be where they are going forward.
I mean, you're not wrong. However, and I thought the best thing they could do once Clay, I think they made the best move they could make with Oubre once Clay was hurt. I think that's the best move that you could have hoped for. So like you have three of your big money guys, right? Your huge contracts with Steph, Draymond, and Wiggins. Mm-hmm. Like those are your big three guys Clay will put to the side, right? So it's not like that shocking. And I give them credit, right? And I give Lakeup credit. He was willing to spend the money. And I think the best you were going to do was Oubre with the TPE. And it hasn't worked. So like,
no. Go figure. Putting Oubre, Wiggins, and Bazemore in a ball movement hot read and react system did not work. Who could have seen that coming?
Shocking.
Anyway, we're going to end it here. Hopefully the locker room file is salvageable and we can post it tomorrow. Appreciate everyone. Rate, subscribe. Aaron, appreciate you as always.